Hey, everybody. This is Carrie Wilkerson, author of The Barefoot Executive and co-founder of DIY Marketing Success. And Paul Evans and I have DIY Success so that you can take your business, your online efforts in your own hands. Now, as a bonus to our client getting session recently, we wanted to spotlight one of our clients, and that is Samantha Hartley. So Samantha's company specializes in making sure you know who your ideal client is, making sure you know how to attract them to you, and how to stay in what she calls your joy zone and your genius zone. And she'll talk just a tad about that. So Sam, rather than me do all these flowery introductions, I'm going to say, tell us who you are, tell us what you do, and then give us one or two things we can do right now to make sure our clients are saying, OMG, I need to work with you.
Okay, I will do that. Well, the first thing to know about me is I'm self-employed. I left corporate America over 10 years ago and struck out on my own. So like many of my clients, I have, and probably yours, I left corporate America. A lot of our clients also come from nonprofit. And I knew everything about how to sell what that company sold, which happened to be Soda Pop, and nothing about how to sell myself or my services. And so really the first thing that I needed to do was to learn how to talk about what I do in ways that would get attention, because for the first several years, it seemed like, every time I talked about what I did or answered the question, what do you do, people's eyes would glaze over.
Yeah.
So probably that's a familiar situation for most people when they answer the question, what do? You know, a lot of our clients are coaches or consultants, so they say, well, I'm a leadership coach or I'm a marketing consultant, and that just doesn't seem to get any resonance. And so when I first started, that's what I was doing too, and, you know, I used a lot of buzzwords that seemed like they were English to me, but everybody looked at me as if I wasn't quite speaking the language. So really, the first thing that we need to do is just talk about what you've got to stop doing, like what's getting in your way when you're trying to answer the question, what do? Because I find that this is the kind of stuff that it seems obvious in retrospect, but when you're doing it, you don't really understand that that's what you're doing. So we build barriers between ourselves and those who need to know about us by saying things like labels. So the first thing you've got to stop doing when you're answering the question, what do? Is stop using a label. So if you're saying I'm a coach or a consultant or something like that, the problem is that nobody else understands what that is. And if you're a profession like, let's say, a chiropractor, or if you're in network marketing, those are a lot of professions that are kind of misunderstood. So it's even worse to say your label there, because people have kind of like preconceived notions about what that is. Do you know what I mean?
I absolutely know what you mean. I've been in some of those professions, and even in online marketing, I mean, people have a preconceived notion.
Well, and that's the thing, and so you never know if that's going to be a good thing or a bad thing. Like, sometimes people are excited to hear about it, but sometimes they're not, and we just don't, you know, we really want to make it to where we kind of, like, smooth the road for ourselves. So saying your label just doesn't smooth the road. So that's the thing that you got to stop doing immediately. And the other thing, and this is one of my the most interesting things, is that when somebody says, what do? A lot of us want to answer with what we do. So we'll say things like, you know, I'm a Six Sigma, and I help people put in place lean processes and stuff like that. Well, that is actually what you do, right? Or, you know, I sell Mary Kay. Well, that is what you do. And, I mean, I sit at the computer and talk on the phone a lot. That is what I do. But, again, that's not what people want to hear. So answering the question, what do? Is actually a trap. And so we have to pretend that we've been asked another question, because that isn't what people want to hear from us. So let's talk about what they actually do want to hear. The number one thing that people are thinking when they ask you, what do? Is really, do I need to know you? So it's kind of a mean thing. Like, nobody really would say, do I need to know you, out loud, because it would be rude. But that is the question that they really are answering, especially if you're in kind of a general acquaintance, getting to know you situation, and somebody's got like 200 people they've got to mingle with in a room, and they're going through and they're saying, do I need to know you, or you, or you? And when you say something like, I'm a Six Sigma Lean consultant, or I sell Mary Kay, that most of them think, nope, I don't need to know you.
Right. Or, uh-oh, they're going to try to sell me something. Run!
Exactly. So those are the worst things we can do. So the best thing we can start with, the first question that people really want to know is, after do I need to know you, is who do you work with? So really the first thing that we can say that would help them is to talk about the kind of person that we help. And I talked with somebody on the phone today, and their answer was kind of an everybody. I said, I don't understand who I would refer to your business. So what's really helpful is to describe who we work with in a way that other people would recognize them. So if I say I work with small business owners, then people either know them or don't know them, but they're not wondering who that is. So you can't say anybody. You can't say everybody who, anybody who. Those kind of phrases are really deadly in this area. So you've got to say something like, you know, I work with small business owners, or I work with stay-at-home moms, or I work with Christian life coaches. Something so that people would say, oh, I know somebody like that. So the more specific it is, the better. Make sense?
That absolutely makes sense, and you're right. And another, for people that do anything online, like the people listening,
mm-hmm.
another key is if you couldn't target that person in a demographic for a Google pay-per-click or a Facebook ad, if you couldn't say female or age range or geographic area or what other pages do they like, if you can't narrow that down, it's probably not a narrow enough market.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, this is super important for those who are marketing online, because when I come to the web page, I'm thinking the same thing. I'm thinking, what does this business do? What is this? Who is this website for? Is it for someone like me? So the second part of answering the who question is, what problem can I get solved by the person that I'm talking to? So I work with small business owners who are struggling to attract enough clients, who are struggling to build their business, who have too many rotten clients and not enough perfect clients. Those are the problems that I can help someone solve. And when I get to a website, I need the same thing to happen. I need to, within 7 seconds, be able to say, who is this website for, and what is the big problem it's going to help me to solve? Now, I have to just clarify here that make more money is not a problem. Achieve your goals, not a problem. Those are aspirations. Those are things that we want to have, but first we need to know what's broken. And can you fix what's broken? So it's really important to learn to talk in terms of problem-oriented language. The thing about aspirations is we all want to be younger and richer and thinner and have more travel time. Those are things that are nice to do, but they don't have a sense of urgency.
Mm-hmm.
But the things that are right here and right now, the problems that are bugging us, like struggling to earn money online, that's a problem. Wants to earn more money, that's an aspiration. So it seems like it's just the difference in the language, but it's going to make a big difference in the action that the person listening or responding to your message takes.
That's huge. It's just hugely empowering for you and also to the person listening.
Exactly, because when you hear somebody articulate your problem very clearly, you feel seen and understood and empathized with, and you proceed further in learning more about them. So a really good thing for determining whether what you're talking about is a problem or not is to start your sentence with struggling with or frustrated by. I might not use that language in the end. I like to go with something that's a little more unusual. So, for example, I'll say, are you disheartened? Because when you say your message, people's eyes glaze over. I like a term like disheartened. But I could also say, are you frustrated because nobody gets your marketing message? Are you struggling with how to talk about what you do in ways that get attention? So if you're wanting to get in touch with exactly what the problems are of the people you help, try substituting it in the sentence, my perfect client is struggling with, or I'm trying to help people online who are frustrated by, and then write that out. And that will show you, that will help you flip it from being an aspiration into actually a problem. And again, that problem language is way more powerful.
Love it. Love it. I'm taking notes even as we talk.
Cool. So the opposite of this, now just remember that we want to draw people in by talking about who they are. Hey, I know who you are, and I know what you're going through. I would say that it's kind of like we've been reading their diary. And in fact, if you're surveying your audience and you're talking to them, you should know this stuff. And this is easy. I mean, it's no criticism. If you don't know it, go do a survey. Go talk to people. If you're not really clear on it, I just was talking to someone who had the way she was stating the problem was like, are you struggling because you're not committed and motivated? And I said, I don't think people are going to describe themselves as not committed and motivated. You need to make sure that you talk about them in the ways that they would talk about themselves. They need to identify with this. So Make sure you put it in language that they would use. Best way to get language they use, talk to your audience or, again, survey them. One of the things that we do is we invite people to leave comments on our website when we ask specific questions of them, and then we literally take that language and we use it in our marketing because they've told us, here is my problem. Here's how I talk about it. So if they don't say struggling with or if they don't say, I don't have enough clients, I have too many terrible clients, good. I'm going to take that language and use that in the marketing. So then others who have that problem will recognize it. There are more people out there who will respond to a specific issue. Even though you think it's just one person who used that language, you'll find that that kind of specific language resonates with so many more people. So let's say we've gotten it to where we know who we help, what's the phrasing of that target audience, and then exactly what their problem is. The next thing we need to say is we can promise that we can help them. I can help them to get this outcome or result. And what's really important here is, again, we want to avoid process. We don't want to talk at all about how we do that. We just want to say, I can help you to achieve boom, boom, boom. So in my case, I say I can help you to attract perfect clients, charge premium prices, and have more joy in your business.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't talk about how I do that, and honestly, for my audience, they would wish it was a magic trick. They probably wish I had a Harry Potter wand because they just want it to be solved, and that's actually the case with everyone. They don't care about how it happens. They just want it to happen, preferably quickly. So instead of talking about, like, how we can make that happen, like, you know, you're going to go through my 7-part system or you're going to do this thing and that thing, we always want to skip over that in the beginning and just talk about what things will be like for them once their problem is solved. And it's really kind of a mirror image. If the front of it is struggling to attract clients, the second part of it is attracting all the clients they want. Or if it's frustrated because they have too many clients who are not a good fit for them, then the outcome would be a full roster of perfect clients. So it's going to really look like a mirror image. Now, is there an example that I could work through? Who's a typical person who is in your program right now, Carrie?
You know, I think in the DIY program, I'm having to segment my clients even. In the DIY program, let's use a coach. I know you work with a lot of coaches. Let's use a life coach, for example. You know, how do you, one, convince them to narrow down, and then how would they, because coach is such a buzzword right now, and at a party you say a coach and people are going to roll their eyes, you know, and walk away. Oh, that means they couldn't get a job doing something else. So how would you, a life coach comes to you and they have a client or two here or there, how do you work with them on that?
Well, the woman I was working with earlier today, she's in the Netherlands, and we specifically talked about this because when we were going over her marketing message, it was all about, you know, are you someone who is having trouble achieving your goals and you can have everything you want in your life and achieve your dreams. So that's a beautiful message, but it's very vague and inspecific. And once I said, well, how would I recognize a good referral for you? This is a great way to help you drill down on your audience, is to imagine that I have said, I want to send you clients. I have clients who need a life coach. Who would be a good referral for you? Well, suddenly people find that they can get a lot more specific. And when I talked with my client this morning, she said, well, it turns out that all of her best clients are over 35, professional women working in companies, having children, usually a dog or a cat. Well, look how specific we suddenly got. So when you start to think about who actually is a client for you, or if you don't necessarily have paying clients, but you have those who are attracted and you've helped, everybody who's a coach has been coaching for years, right? Mm-hmm. They're the free advice giver in their own circle. Mm-hmm. So who are those who respond best to it? So sometimes it's gender. Sometimes it's I work best with women, or I work best with couples or moms. Just you want to focus in on who has been the best fit for you. And then what tends to be the thing that you talk about most? My husband is a life coach, and he works with people who are in spiritual transition, and he finds that people who come to him for years, this was always the theme, is that something was changing in their lives, and they wanted to address it not just on a psychological basis, like with a therapist, but they wanted to talk about it in spiritual terms. Well, that's very interesting. So everybody was in some kind of spiritual transition, and it was a struggle for them because, you know, it throws your whole life out of balance. So what is the thing, the top thing that brings people to you? So people will very often say to me, oh, well, it's all kinds of problems, and they'll name like 30 things, and I'll be like, okay, well, 28 of these fit into one category. And then these other two, like, they show up ever, but most of your business is this. So in my business, you know, we have dozens and dozens of clients who come to us, but what are the things that bring them to us? The first one is not enough clients. The second one is too many problematic clients that they're not sure why they're attracting. And then a very teeny tiny percentage are people who say, okay, my business is doing what I want, and now I want to take it to the next level. But by and large, the first category is the biggest. It's 80. And then the next one is, you know, 19 and then 1. So it's almost an 80-20 rule. And that's going to be the case in for life coaches and for everybody else. Almost everything is going to fit into one, two, or three categories.
Wow, super helpful. Okay, so I know you can't teach your whole course right now. I know you've got loads and loads of good stuff on this, and I specifically love your webinar that you teach on this. Tell us a little bit about the webinar and how people can find that and get some really intense training from you.
We have a free webinar that basically teaches these concepts, which is how to talk about what you do in ways that get the person listening to you to say, oh, my gosh, I need your card. And then a little further into it, that's the recipe for a jaw-dropping self-introduction.
Right.
To get someone to say, oh, my gosh, I need your card. The second thing that we teach that I think is so critical is all those other marketing materials that you need to have and all those other messages you need to have, we basically boil everything down to a two-pager that can help you to create that. And we basically show you the formula for that on our webinar. So you can get the webinar by going to enlightenedmarketing.com. And right there on the right, there's a big orange button where you can sign up.
And it's free. That's the best part. It's a free webinar at enlightenedmarketing.com. Go sign up for the free webinar. This was super helpful today. This gives you some questions to ask yourself today to learn your framing a little differently today. But this webinar, you will not be sorry. It's at enlightenedmarketing.com. That is not an affiliate link. I don't benefit from that. That is just Sam doing some amazing training. enlightenedmarketing.com. Go sign up for the free training webinar, how to get people to say, OMG, I need to work with you. OMG, I need your card. OMG, I can't live without you. How about that? So we're going to go all those directions.
And can I leave you with one inspiring story?
Please.
We had a client named Emra who had really been kind of unsatisfied in her business. And she was a trainer, and she was walking across the parking lot one day, and she ran into an acquaintance who said, hey, what do you do? What's up with you? And she said, I would always have just said, I'm a coach, I'm a trainer. But she said, that webinar was fresh in my mind, and I really wanted to use my new message. So she said her message the way we teach her to say it, and the lady said, oh, my gosh, I need your card. And that chance acquaintance in a parking lot, which is where almost all of these kind of things happen, turned into a six-year-long, six-figure deal, including a book deal for her. So
wow.
I just want to let you know that the most chance encounters can turn into huge opportunities for you if you are prepared with your jaw-dropping self-introduction.
Well, and I'll let them hear the whole story later, but one of my favorite stories of yours is the client that couldn't stay booked, and now she's saying, okay, I need a new program to help me cull down my clients. I have too many clients. I want to work less.
Exactly.
I'm too good at getting clients now. Can I please just work less? So love that. You guys go to enlightenedmarketing.com. Sign up for the free webinar. Sam Hartley, thank you so much for your expertise today. Sam's one of my rocking clients. Love the work she does. Love the stratosphere we're about to vault into with her business. And I know you guys can do the same too. So thanks for this helpful interview, this bonus for client getting as part of the DIY Marketing Success Series. This is Carrie Wilkerson representing Paul Evans and myself for DIY Marketing. We'll talk to you guys later. Thanks, Sam.
Thank you, Carrie.
Bye-bye.